Amen. To God be the glory. Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. If this is your first time joining us, either here in person or somewhere out there in the virtual space, we are glad that you are here with us. It continues to be a blessing to be able to worship together, both virtually and in person now. We want to know that you are with us here, and so if at some point you're able to find the link later to register your attendance here, that would be wonderful, and you can usually find that on the website where our early service is. If you are online, you may also find that link in the online chat or in the posting of this service. We also invite you to set your worship space if you are worshiping somewhere else. So you may choose to do that at this time. Here, our worship space is set for us. I have a few announcements. First of all, the trunk or treat is still happening. We have modified it a bit, but our trunk or treat will be on October 25th from 4 to 6 p.m. And there is it's going to be a drive-through event this year, and teachers and parents from our preschool will provide the treats in a safe and socially distanced manner. At the end of the series of trunks, people may also purchase Whit's Barbecue family packs with enough pulled pork and buns and baked beans for four people. And those meals will be $25, and all proceeds will go directly to the preschool. If you plan on coming to the trunk or treat, we ask that you would register your attendance there ahead of time. We'll help them plan on the number of people to have meals for and also treats. We're also planning a few days after that, on Tuesday, October 27th, to have a service of lament and prayer. This will be a time where we will gather for a brief service to light candles, to kneel and pray, and to hold space for the grief that has pervaded this season. This idea was brought to us by some lay members that said, now that the country has passed the benchmark of 200,000 losses of life, and now we know we're even more, we need to have some time to lament and pray in these days. And so we're going to have this service on October 27th, just a few days before All Saints Day. You're invited to come to the sanctuary at 6 p.m. or to the breezeway outside the cloister garden, and that will be available from 6 to 8 p.m. for those seeking an open-air option for candle lighting and reflection and prayer. A live stream of that service will also be available, and if you plan to come to that in person, we also ask that you register online just to let us know you're coming. Finally, tonight, we will have our monthly Tze service. It is a service of contemplation and prayer and music. And we continue to host this service online so that we can keep all of the music that is a part of it. So if you want to spend some time with us this evening, join us online at 5 o'clock and bring whatever cares you have to God in that time of music and contemplation. And now, having said all of that, let us go to God in worship, to worship the God whom we give our ultimate loyalty to over all other things.
Thank you. sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Oh, sing to the Lord.
Declare God's marvelous works among all the peoples.
Oh, sing to the Lord.
Who is revealed among us.
We praise your name, O God. Let us come now before God with our confessions, believing that we all are, that we all hold, and are seen and held by God's unconditional love for us. Christ, our Lord, teacher, and friend, you challenge us to see the world in ways that you always make sense. We confess that we get angry as we hear voices that promote harm to your children. We confess that we are confused as we try to navigate this world of polarization, prejudice, and hostility. We confess that we often become spiritually drained and fall into the trap of apathy. We confess that we make mistakes even as we try to do what we believe is right. Remind us to respond to the anger wisely as you responded. Remind us to be peacemakers and justice bringers, even in the confusion. Remind us to show up in the world on behalf of the poor, the neglected, the outcast, working towards true acceptance and inclusion of all your children. May we be responsible for the task of rendering to you, O God, what is divinely yours. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you and in your sight, O Lord, our help and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm not going to lie, but I have been dreading this sermon for a while. You see, when you don't preach every week like Pastor Carol does, you have the opportunity to look ahead and see what sermon is on the horizon. And I knew early on that I was going to be preaching on this familiar story where Jesus is confronted by a couple of different groups that want to know something about paying taxes. But there's more to their question than that. Underneath the obvious question is another one. Where do your loyalties lie? Now, Jesus often finds himself in this predicament where different powers of this world are wanting him to give them allegiance or at least give them some fodder for their own agendas. Now, I've wrestled with this mightily because, as you know, we are in a similar predicament now. As I speak, we are in the midst of a hotly contested federal election. At a time of pandemic, when there has been lots of social unrest and many things seem unsettled and uncertain, there are many powers in this world right now that either feel like they are crushing down on us or asking for our allegiance. And so I somewhat dreaded this sermon because I wondered, what in the world would I say about this story of Jesus, who is essentially caught in the midst of what amounts to a political argument, yes, with some religious trappings, but it's really a political argument. And what was I going to say while we are in the middle of our own tricky political storm? And then I realized that Jesus, as he is wont to do, had already pointed the way for me. So I am going to try to follow Jesus' lead here, and I'm going to attempt to not fall into the trap any more than Jesus does. Today, I'm going to try the best I can to refuse to be drawn in by the powers that would vie for my allegiance, and instead rest in the invitation that Jesus gives us to ponder about where our loyalties truly do and should lie. You see, much like we are in a season where we have parties vying for our allegiance or our assent to their positions, that's what Jesus has going on here. If you have felt caught in the fray between two competing parties, well, Jesus knows what you feel like. Here, Jesus is presented a question about allegiance to Rome by paying the tribute tax by both the disciples of the Pharisees and also by the Herodians. Now, these two parties are an unlikely pair. You see, the Herodians and the Pharisees had two very different ideas about what a good political outcome would be for their people. Neither one of them had much love for the Roman Empire, mind you, because the Roman Empire had its thumb on the Jewish people and ultimately ruled their land. And yet the Herodians and the Pharisees had two very different answers about what exactly should happen. Now, the Herodians, they were able to maintain some of their regional political power by working with the Romans, by serving as vassals of the Roman state. It was their ultimate hope that there would come a time where Rome was no more, and that then the line of Herod could assume what they saw as the place of rightful authority, as the ruling class of the Jewish people. But for the time being, they had uncomfortably settled on working with the Romans. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they longed for the departure of Rome and the reestablishment of the kingly line of David. They felt that they believed strongly in the promises of God, and they did not agree with the Herodians' claim to power and saw them as compromised by their alliance with Rome. Now, of course, the Pharisees themselves lived in a somewhat tenuous relationship with Rome, whereby they still maintained some religious authority within the context of Jewish life, so long as they didn't cause Rome too much trouble. So what did these disparate groups stand to gain by coming and approaching Jesus together? Now, we are told that there's an attempt here to trick Jesus, which I'm sure is true because, as we know, Jesus was a thorn in the side of a lot of religious authorities and political authorities. But I think both parties also see this as an opportunity to score a win for their side. I can't help but think this encounter has as much to do with their own power struggles as it had to do with their concerns about Jesus or anything Jesus was doing. Rather, Jesus was a convenient foil to prove that they were the ones with the better ideas. So they had this simple plan and a simple expectation. Ask Jesus if a good Jewish person should pay the Roman imperial tax. And Jesus would have to answer one way or the other, yes or no. And truth be told, to pay the tax was never a truly acceptable answer in Jewish society. Neither the Herodians nor the Pharisees believed that paying the tax was a desirable thing to do. Because to pay that tribute tax that bore the image of the emperor, that gave credence to the emperor's claim of divine rule. And yet, depending on Jesus' answer, not only was there a chance to discredit and trap Jesus, but also perhaps their opponents. You see, if Jesus were to say, no, don't pay the tax, the Pharisees have not only convinced Jesus to say something that might put him in trouble with Roman authorities, he's also strengthened their case against the Herodians that any collaboration with the Romans is a betrayal of Jewish loyalty to the one true God. Now, for the Herodians, if Jesus, for some reason, happens to say, yes, pay the tax, well, they may have lost their opportunity to trap Jesus, but at least they've gained something politically. If a religious man like Jesus were to say to pay the tribute tax, well, surely their collaboration with Rome couldn't be that bad, after all. And any critiques that Jesus or his followers or any religious zealots might have of the Herodians would be moot. The Herodians may collaborate with Rome, but ultimately they could claim they have the interests of their people in mind. Now, while I think it's always a bit dangerous to make any direct parallels between biblical stories and our own lives, I can't help but notice how much this mirrors the ways that we still think about religious and political power. I think that many of us deeply desire to be about the things of God. And we also want to look out for the common good. But you know what else? We often also have our eyes on the rightness of our own power as well. I think that always lurking in the background lies our desire to know that we have it figured out, that we have it right. Frankly, we want to know that we are the good ones. We want to be perceived as being on the right side. We render ourselves as the ones who are righteous. Now, I don't use the word render by accident. I have been thinking a lot about that word lately. After being confronted, Jesus calls his inquisitors hypocrites, and then he asks them to produce that coin that's used to pay the tribute to the emperor. And he says, "Tell me what image is on this coin." And they rightly say it's the emperor's. And then in the King James translation of this story, language that we're so used to hearing in this story, Jesus says, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now, render is just an old English way of saying to give, right? But in the English language, the word render can also be used to describe the act of giving artistic representation to something or making something visible. For instance, Caesar's image was rendered onto the coin. To render can be to act creatively, to provide an image of or a presentation that promotes an idea or perhaps provokes deep thought and introspection. In Jesus' answer to the Pharisees and the Herodians, Jesus refuses to give the expected yes or no answer. Rather, he gives a yes and. By answering in that way, I think Jesus is rendering in word and disposition a more creative and fruitful example of how to engage with the powers of this world. By leaning into the yes and, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, Jesus unveils the truth of the situation that his questioners are actually in. See, the truth is they do not and cannot stand completely outside of the world. There will always be earthly leaders and rulers and powers asking for their allegiance. And when those powers are no longer coming from the outside like it is with Rome, well, it will come from the inside, from within. There is no pure place of righteousness on which the Pharisees or the Herodians can stand. Rather, they have been and they continue to be in power negotiations with one another and with the Romans. So yes, give to the emperor what is the emperor's, Jesus says. You're doing that already. But this is why the and is so important. There is a danger of unveiling the truth that all powers, even the ones we exercise, are compromised. By rendering obvious the fact that all earthly powers are imperfect, it can leave us with no hope. It can render us fatalistic. We end up feeling overwhelmed by power or indifferent to power. If some form of empire, real or proverbial, will always have power, then how can we ever expect to see the things of God come to fruition? Here again, Jesus renders visible the path forward. Render unto God what is God's. Just as Jesus asked whose imprint was on the coin, so Jesus invites these questioners and invites us to consider where is God's imprint. And the answer to that question, given from the beginning of time, is that God's imprint is on all of creation. God's imprint is in the cosmos and on the face of the waters and on the contours of the land. God's imprint is on all of the creatures that dwell upon the earth. And God's imprint is uniquely present in the face of humanity. We are all rendered in the image of God, whether we're Herodians or Pharisees or Romans. Whether we are Democrats or Republicans or independents or those that choose to stand on the sidelines and watch. And if we are to render to God what is God's, two things become starkly obvious. Everything is already God's, and we already belong to God. To give loyalty to God is to live as if this is the truth. And from this encounter onward, Jesus rendered his life unto the things of God. He continued to demonstrate in word and deed the deep love of God and neighbor, which he goes on to articulate as the greatest commandment in this very same chapter. We'll hear Pastor Carol preach on it in a few weeks. He continued to challenge the presuppositions of both the religious and political authorities, calling them to their responsibility to God and their fellow human beings. And in the end, Jesus even rendered his very body unto the Roman Empire state as he was hung on the cross, the standard form of capital punishment for the Romans. In all of these instances, despite misunderstanding, opposition, and even death, he lived as if God were already in control. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was the great vindication of his yes and way of living. You see, Jesus knew that just when it appears that an empire really does control everything, God's presence and purposes always come roaring back to life. So this is the portrait of life that Jesus rendered for us. And we do well to pay close attention. Nothing about the way Jesus lived, died, or triumphed tells us that power is unimportant. Indeed, he lamented when his own people failed to honor the image of God in their dealings with one another and failed to be people of justice and mercy. He gave radical attention and care and healing to those left on the outside of strong earthly powers. And his death on the cross was a testament to the ugly and cruel, raw political power of the Roman state. Jesus most certainly showed us that the exercise of earthly power has consequences. And that is the very reason that time and again he invited people to examine and re-examine who or what exactly they were living their lives for. Jesus' own life rendered in bold and beautiful colors that the act of living as if God's power of love and grace has already won, well, that simple act begins to refine and conquer every other power. So today, I'm not going to tell you if you should pay your taxes or how much of taxes you should pay. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, although I might have some thoughts about that. I'm not going to tell you which particular ideas or schemes or people you can count on to help you do right by God and your neighbors. If you decide that you must, then render unto the government. Render unto corporations. Render unto nonprofits. Render unto charities. Render unto Amazon. Render unto the NFL and NCAA football. I did some of that last night. Render unto Democrats. Render unto Republicans. Render unto the church. Render unto any earthly power that you can imagine. And as you do so, render unto God what is God's. And not if, but when, you find that the other powers pale in comparison with God's power of love and grace, then give thanks that God already reigns over all of creation. Every rock, river, hill, tree, animal, and person belongs to God. And then render yourself unto God so that God's love for all creation might pour forth in your words and in your actions, refining every power that you exercise and every allegiance of which you are a part. For you see, we are God's renderings. And if we allow God's Spirit to work within us, our lives can become renderings of God's love and grace at work in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We respond to the Word of God by standing in body or spirit and reciting the United Church of Canada's statement of faith. You can find that in your hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, you can write those down and give them on your way out to one of us who will be in the back. But you can also, if you're online, follow the contact us on our website and give us your prayer requests. We pray for those every Monday as a pastoral team, and we'll be lifting you through the week. Prepare us now, O loving God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you this morning. We give thanks that you are willing and able to handle our many questions. We give thanks for the beauty of changing seasons, for crisp fall weather, for the array of colors in the trees and flowers, and for the lessons nature can teach us. God, we pray this morning for those who are sick. We ask your healing hand to be upon them. We pray for those who are dying, that they may know your comfort and peace. We pray also for so many who are grieving, for the loss of loved ones, for celebrations missed, for the loss of, quote, normal. We pray for those who are crying out for justice and mercy. May their cries be heard and acted upon. We ask your blessing on those facing economic hardship during this time. We pray for those who are facing new challenges in their work due to the pandemic, especially for teachers, healthcare workers, parents, and so many more. We pray for our country in this election season. Give us wisdom and discernment and help us show grace to each other. Send us forth to make the world a more loving, more welcoming, more just, and more beautiful place for all of your children. We pray in the name of Jesus. who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I have the honor and gratitude for Brent Clark, who is our chairperson of the financial giving campaign, to bless us with a message.
Say, having done this virtually during the last service, it is nice to be able to see people. It's the oddest feeling to speak into a camera which may or may not be looking at you. So, as I said, I'm the Faithful Giving chairperson for this year's Faithful Giving campaign, and I am happy to report that as irregular as this year has been, there is one tradition at West End that we can be certain of. And that is the autumn kickoff of the annual Faithful Giving campaign. Hooray for traditions. This tradition, this absolute certainty of the presence of West End at our core and our bedrock beliefs, is something that helped influence this year's campaign theme, which is the sure foundation. As was written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, that foundation is Jesus Christ. As much uncertainty this year has truly brought all of us, the one sure foundation that we can build on is Jesus. In this Faithful Giving campaign season, I challenge each of you to ask how West End is your sure foundation and your rock. In the coming weeks during worship service, we will hear from speakers during the ministry moment that will share with you their answers to that question and about the importance of supporting West End through your financial gifts. As in past years, we are asking you to complete an estimate of giving card for 2021. This will enable the church to better plan their ministries for the coming year. No estimate is too small or too large, for that matter, and I encourage everyone to participate as best as they are able. There are two main ways to record your estimate of giving. The fastest and easiest way is to go to the giving section of the church website, where you can find an estimate of giving 2021 section to fill in your information. In the next few days, you should also be receiving an estimate of giving card in the mail that you can complete and return to the church. We are asking everyone to complete your estimate of giving by turn-in Sunday, which will look a little bit different this year, which will be on November 8th. And once again, your estimates of giving help all the ministries of West End build upon that sure and certain foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
I think the last line of that hymn says it well. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Where do your loyalties lie? And how is God calling you to live in love of God and neighbor now and tomorrow and forevermore? Give thanks that we are indeed created in the image of God. Thanks be to God.